ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तम् तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। In continuation of what I have been talking for past few weeks, few Saturdays, I wanted to make it clear that how far Shastram comes in helping us understand the truth and where exactly Shastram leaves us. Shastram's effort is only in making us first understand clearly what I am not. When Shastram helps us understand what I am not, then there the Shastram leaves us understand what I am. So I understand what I am. I'm supposed to understand what I am myself. When Shastram helps me understand what I am not. Shastram does not directly tell you this is what you are. Shastram expects us to claim what I am when it helps me understand what I am not. Of course, we know very well the very question of knowing what I am is actually for me to know what this entire universe is. And when I understand what this universe is, I mean what is that essentially the entire universe is. What is the truth of this entire universe? And if you remember the Purushartha, Purushartha means here our goal. Remember the human pursuit. If you remember our goal, then we will know that we are really not interested in knowing the truth of the universe. We are not really interested in what this universe is. We are not interested even in knowing what I am, but actually our interest is only in freedom. We are actually interested in moksha. We are actually interested in happiness. And why we are interested? This is our choiceless end. Because this we have been discussing from day one, from the very beginning of Vedanta study, even before we begin our study of Vedanta, this fact must be very clear that moksha is my ultimate choiceless end, that moksha is actually freedom from unwanted unhappiness, is nothing but happiness. It is very natural for us to be aspiring for happiness. Why we are aspiring for happiness? Because that is our real nature. Happiness is our swarupam. Therefore, there is naturally that desire for happiness is, it's not a created desire, cultivated desire. Naturally, it is there. Therefore, happiness is our goal, which implied by the term moksha, freedom. That is our choiceless end. And that freedom is only in correcting my perception of myself and the world, especially correcting the perception of my own self, my own perception of my own self. That's the only way I can resolve my fundamental problem. Centered on I. See, the problem is centered on I. It's very important. We are not simply interested in intellectual pleasure. Study of Vedanta Shastram is not an academic pursuit. It is not an intellectual exercise. It will become an intellectual exercise and academic pursuit if the goal is not very clear. We can call it a spiritual pursuit only if the goal is very clear. And only if you understand the fundamental problem, the actual problem is centered on I. We discussed many times the common human fundamental problem is this problem is the sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, sense of insecurity, sense of insignificance, sense of unhappiness centered on I. So I am inadequate, I am unhappy, I am small. I am small, I am insignificant, I am unhappy, I am unhappy is the problem. If other person is unhappy, the other person is small, if other person is inadequate, that is not our problem. So I am small, I am inadequate, I am unhappy, I am insignificant is actually my problem. It's a common human fundamental problem. Therefore, the error in the perception of one's own self needs to be corrected. In order to resolve the wrong notions we have entertained about ourselves, it is this entertainment of wrong notions about the self are the expressions of our fundamental problem centered on I. That is the reason we need to see that we need to understand what actually we mean by I. This first person singular pronoun I. And any word for that matter we need to understand, any word is a meaningful sound and which is an expression which can be heard. A word is something which can be heard when it is expressed and which is an expression of manifestation of knowledge. A word presupposes the manifestation of knowledge in the form of a thought. We need to understand the very thought itself in terms of manifest knowledge. So word is the expression of manifestation of knowledge. And the manifestation of knowledge presupposes the source of manifestation. Therefore, when we talk about this I, the first person singular pronoun, to refer to our own selves, and is the only pronoun used by all the people to refer to one's own self. To refer to other people, we can use he, she, it, that. But it's the only pronoun used by all of us to refer to ourselves. And this pronoun also is a substantive, is a word, which is also an expression of the manifestation of knowledge. And there is a source for which there is a source. And this is the highest form of manifestation. And here Shastram helps us understand that to resolve all our problems in life, it's important for us to understand this very I. Because being born a human being, we take the entire being as I. And it is not possible for us to distinguish, to discern, to see what I am, what I am not. We cannot do it on our own, by ourselves. And to resolve our problem, this fundamental problem, if the problem is centered on I, the solution also must be centered on I. Therefore, we are not simply interested in knowing this whole universe is Brahma. Of course, we will come to know the whole universe is Brahma. All that is only Brahma, we'll understand later on. Naturally, by way of understanding what I am, because the truth is one. The truth of everything, the truth of the universe, and the truth of my own self is one and the same. Because I am part of this whole. So wave is an inseparable part of the whole ocean. So also every individual here, every being here is inseparable part of the whole. Therefore, the truth is the same. So when we understand what I am, naturally everything is understood, as it were. The whole world is understood, as it were. It is not for us to simply say what I am not. Shastram uses this method of helping us understand what I is not, just to help us claim what I am. If Shastram directly tells us you are this, like in Chandogya Upanishad Tattvamasi, in the very beginning, without you presenting any methods of unfoldment, we cannot understand that. So initially, this methods of unfoldment are used to help us understand what I is not. That is how Shastram can help us claim what I am. Therefore, it uses this method of unfoldment called Drishyaviveka Prakriya, subject-object analysis. There it says, so with reference to this entire universe, every one of us is addressed by the Shastram that with reference to this entire universe, you are the knower, you are the experiencer, you are the enjoyer. The entire objective universe is there for you as an object of enjoyment. So you are the experiencer, knower, enjoyer of this world, and the world is an object of your enjoyment. That is why in Sanskritam we have this nice word lokaha. No, lokaha, lokate means sees. Lokyate is seen. Is Atmepada, lokate. And lokyate is seen. The world is called lokaha because it is always the seen. It is always the known. It never becomes the knower. The very expression lokaha tells us that the world is ever the known, ever the enjoyed seen. It can never become the knower. So anything known is the world. Anything known is the world, which is an object of your enjoyment, object of your knowledge. And from the standpoint of this known, the knower is you. For the world to be the known, there must be the knower. And if you ask who this knower is, Shastra makes it very clear, the knower is you. There is no knower other than yourself. There is no knower other than you. The knower is you. The world is the known. So every one of us is addressed here. So here, first to help us understand the fact that there is ignorance on our part, that we do not know what this I is, it's important for us first of all to understand that there is ignorance of what I am. I do not know what I am. I do not know what this I is. So, to help us understand our ignorance first, we must be convinced of our ignorance first, so that we will make efforts to know, to resolve the ignorance. So the effort to know, the effort to resolve ignorance will not be possible if we do not even know that there is ignorance. So Drishyaviveka Prakriya even helps us understand that there is ignorance on our part. So only when we are taught, oh, known is an object of knowledge, and then you, the knower is you. And thereby, it helps us all. Anything known is not you. The knower is not the known. Knower is distinct from the known. By helping understand this, it is the Shastram which helps us through this method that even the physical body is the known. Therefore, the knower is not the physical body. The knower you are not the physical body. So also the knower you are not any of the known, including your sense powers, including your powers of organs of actions, including your physiological functions, including all your emotions, including your thoughts, including your three states of experience. The three states of experience which we have, which these three states of experience are the three states of mind. So even the knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am, obtaining in the form of thought, is part of these three states of experience. Therefore, even each state of experience happens to be a state of mind, which is also an object of knowledge. Therefore, we are helped to understand, yes, if I am the experiencer, I am the knower, I am distinct from the known, different from the known. Therefore, when we understand how the body, mind, sense organs, all of them are objects of knowledge, that is when we come to know, yes, I am the knower, different from all of them, distinct from all of them. Even though I, the knower, am not distant from all of them, I cannot even know that there is no distance. But I can understand I am, I know I am, but I know I am not distant from all of them. I know I am distinct from all of them, but this is only this prakriya helps us understand, yes, who am I, the knower? That I do not know. To understand that I do not know what I am, I'm dependent on this drishyaviveka prakriya. I must be convinced of the fact that I do not know what I am. For this prakriya helps. Only then, okay, if I am, body is object of knowledge, mind is object of knowledge, sense organs are objects of knowledge, all the thoughts which form the state of mind, the state of experience, are objects of knowledge, then the subject of knowledge, if I am the subject of knowledge, I know I am the knower, I know I am the knower now, but what am I the knower? Who am I the knower? Once this, our ignorance is, we come to know of the ignorance. Because initially there's ignorance of ignorance. And this prakriya helps us understand our ignorance. Then later on, the other method is used for what? To understand what I am. Again, very clearly, this pancha koshas are analyzed. Or again, the three bodies are analyzed. even though we don't say there are three bodies, there's no three different forms. The formless subtle aspects indwelling the physical body are given the name a subtle body because of their imperceptibility. And the perceptible external physical form is another given a title, given name, sthula shariram, the sthula dehaha. And avidya, the ignorance which is naturally there. Avidya, ajnanam, ignorance which is naturally there. Because natural manifestation of knowledge is only up to this, the knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am. Until then, there is natural manifestation. And such knowledge is manifest only in human mind. It is this manifestation of knowledge of the existence of self, obtaining in the form of thought in terms of I am, makes the human being a unique, most sophisticated and exalted among the beings. Therefore, the pancha koshas and these three bodies are differently presented as five layers of personality, and each layer of personality as though it is covering the truth. You know, just as water, the H2O, the essential nature of the form, name and function called a wave is as though covered by the form, wave. See, the wave is a word denoting a form serving a given purpose, does not cover the water. Doesn't cover the water. But still, the form can grab our attention when the form holds our attention. Naturally, our attention is not paid to the water. When the attention is not paid to the water, whatever has the attention enjoys existence. Whatever enjoys existence, whatever has the attention, whatever enjoys the existence becomes real in our understanding. Not that wave form really covers the water, but wave form can hold our attention because of its movement. And it can, once the wave form holds the attention, it can prevent us from paying attention to the water. I'm repeating this. Wave form, when it holds our attention, it enjoys existence, and holding the attention, enjoying the existence, it makes us think it is real, and paying attention to the water. So when our attention is not paid to the water, water is not really covered. Water is as though covered. Are you all listening to me? I want to teach you what is a kosha, okay? Water is as though covered. Water being covered means attention being not available for the water. Attention being not paid to the water is water being as though covered. Then we can say the form wave is not a real cover, but the form wave is as though a cover. Similarly, our physical body, our gross physical body, when it holds the attention, when our whole attention is paid to the physical body, body enjoys existence. And when the body enjoys existence, the body is real in our understanding. Then our attention is not, attention is prevented from, attention paid to the self is, attention is not available for the self. So physical body cannot prevent, cover the reality, obtaining as the essential nature of every one of us, implied by the term Atma. The physical body, just as wave form does not cover the truth, the water, so also our physical form cannot cover the subtlest reality, Atma. But the body is as though a cover. Body is like a cover. Why? Because the attention is paid to the body. When the attention is grabbed by the body, attention is prevented from, attention is not available for the self. Therefore, the body is like the cover. Because body becomes real because it enjoys existence. In our understanding, body is mistaken to be real because it is available, it enjoys existence. It enjoys existence because it grabs our attention. The attention is not paid to the body will lose its status of being existent. It enjoys existence because it has our attention, therefore it is real. It is taken to be real. Therefore it is like a koshaha. It is not real cover, it is like tikoshaha. So already I told you, attention being not paid not attention being not available is what? Is as though being covered. So Atma cannot be covered, is never covered. But Atma is as though covered. Why? It doesn't have attention. Why it doesn't have attention? Because attention is grabbed by something else. The body. And so body happens to be the outermost physically perceptible one. We call it the grossest layer of personality. We call it Annamayaha Koshaha. But when this body is taken to be real, then the I sense is in the physical body. Dehe Atma Buddhihi Yada Bhavati. When we have I sense in the body, then we take this body to be the self. Body is taken to be the self means body is taken to be the meaning of the substantive I. The physical body is mistaken to be the substance of the substantive I. When this physical body is taken to be the meaning of the word I, when the physical body is taken to be the substance of the substantive I, we call this body Annamaya Atma. So in ignorance, the physical body is taken to be the I, meaning of the word I, that then it, you call it Annamaya Atma. But later, through analysis, when we understand, when we discover this fact that this physical body is nothing but the modified form of, it's only elemental, this modified form of food which is elemental, is born of food, sustained by food, finally it is going to get disintegrated into elements which is original food. When we understand, and this body is also subject to change, it's available for objectification, it is an object of experience, it is an abode of enjoyment, it is also object of knowledge, then we negate this physical body as non-self. We are able to see this body being not the substance of the substantive I, body being not the meaning of the word I, then the I sense is shifted from the physical body intellectually, cognitively, then this Annam, we don't call it Annamaya Atma, then we call it Annamaya Kosha. Initially, when it is mistaken to be the meaning of the word I, it is Annamaya Atma. Then later, after analysis, when we see this body being an object of knowledge, and we understand I, the knower, the subject of knowledge being distinct from the known body, then we look at this body as kosha. Not real cover, it is like the cover. I explained to you why body is called cover. It is not real cover, it is like the cover, because it is capable of this grossest, being the grossest object of knowledge, being an abode of enjoyment also, it is capable of holding the attention, taking away our attention, retaining it with it, thereby it can prevent us from paying attention to the self, to something, anything else. When it has the attention, it enjoys existence. Because it enjoys existence, it is taken to be real. And not only that, it is also mistaken to be the meaning of the word I. Because of distancelessness, why do we mistake the body for the I? Because of the distancelessness between I and the body. When you physically, externally see the distance between two things, you don't mistake one thing for the other. You say this is different, this is different. Because physical distance helps you understand two things being different. But Atma happens to be the truth, essential reality. Only truth, nothing can be distanced. Atma cannot be distanced from anything. And the abstract reality implied by the Atma being non-distant from anything, naturally, what happens? The physical body is taken to be the I. So when it is Atma, when it is Koshaha, before analysis of the physical body, it is Atma. After the analysis, you understand it is the kosha. And not only this, and then when eye sense is shifted, still there are many other aspects where identity, I is identified with. I is associated with. And this I being associated with all these aspects is expressed in our behavior, in our conversations, in our speech. Therefore, further when it is analyzed, what is next is, we say pranamayaha. So pranamaya, again the physiological functions. And because of which alone the physical body is alive. Because of the presence of, no, it is the pranas. Physiological functions, because of which all other functions are possible, physical activities are possible, the movement on the body is possible, and those physiological functions are also not distant from the Atma. Atma is not distant from the anything, physiological functions. And they lend life for this physical body. Therefore, they are all called pranaha. Pranaha means life. Actually, it means life. That which lends life is prana. We understand the life in a being through prana. So prana is the, prana serves an instrument to understand the life in any living being. So the pranas, and the pranas along with other powers, subtle powers obtaining in physical parts, which serve as instruments of actions called karmendriyani. These 10 aspects together constitute the pranamayaha. Subtle aspects obtaining in the form of the 5 physiological functions and 5 powers. And this pranamayaha also not distant, and this also enjoys existence. This pranamaya also, the eye sense is identified with this pranamaya, associated with the pranamaya. There is eyes in pranamaye aham buddhihi. There is eye sense, and the part of eye sense is mixed with this pranamaya. So the pranas are mistaken to be not one, for one eye. This eye, first person singular pronoun. And this eye, this, all the pranas are taken to be I, taken to be the meanings of this one expression I. Karmendriyani are taken to be the substantives of the substantive I. For one word I, 10 aspects are taken to be the meanings. When just the samana prana alone is taken to be the meaning of this word I, substance of the substantive I, we say I am hungry. I am thirsty. In those expressions, we can see how the 5 pranas are taken to be the substances of the one substantive I. 5 powers of organs of actions are taken to be the substances of the substantive I. Actually, the substantive I, the expression I, is distinct, not distant. But on analysis, we understand that each and every prana, each function is an object of knowledge. There are 5 different functions, 5 different names given to 5 different functions, governed by one vital air, and the each and every, all the 5 powers are associated with the 5 activities, physical activities. So they're all objects of knowledge. The power in hands, which is used in holding, in throwing, etc. The power in our legs, because of which walking, running, moving, etc. is possible. The power in organ of speech, because of which speaking is possible. The power in excretory organ, because of which the excretion is possible. Getting rid of the unwanted is possible. The reproductive organ, the power in reproductive organ, because of reproducing is possible. And those powers are all, we analyze, on analysis we find out each and every power is object of knowledge. and every function is object of knowledge. And analysis, we understand these 10 aspects which constitute the pranamaya are all objects of knowledge. And this I, the first person singular pronoun, is actually the knower. I, the knower, am distinct because I am the knower. And all the 10 aspects which form the pranamaya are the known. The knower is distinct from the known. And I am the knower, therefore I am distinct from this known. So on analysis, what happens? We understand the knower is distinct from the known, therefore we shift the I sense cognitively from the pranamaya. So before shifting the I sense from the this pranamaya, pranamaya is taken to be the substance of the substantive I. All the 10 aspects are taken to be the substances of the substantive I. Then pranamaya is taken to be the Atma. We called pranamaya Atma. Then after analysis, we shift the I sense cognitively. Then pranamaya is what? Becomes the pranamaya kosha. Before the analysis is taken to be the Atma, after analysis, it is understood to be the Koshaha. Because there's no physical big distance between Pranamaya and Annamaya. And also Pranamaya and also Manomaya. So then naturally manomaya atma means this mind, the emotional aspect of the antahkaranam, samshayatmika manaha, samshayatmakam manaha, samshayatmakam manaha. The emotional aspect of the antahkaranam with the 5 subtle sense powers. Now earlier we understood powers of organs of action. Now powers of sense organs which help us sense the external world of objects. And the 6 of them together known as manomayaha. Why? Because the sense powers are associated with this mind. Only when the vrittis rise, when the thoughts rise, and the sense powers become functional. The thoughts do not rise, sense powers cannot be functional. So sense powers can function as sense powers. For them to be functional, they are dependent on the rising of thoughts. How do we understand this? In deep sleep states, sense powers do not function independently. All the thoughts resolve, thoughts are not there, sense powers are non-functional. When the thoughts rise, thoughts are in the waking, sense powers are functional. There are thoughts corresponding to each and every sense power. thought associated with the seeing power, netra vrittihi, shrotra vrittihi, grana vrittihi, rasana vrittihi, twag vrittihi. In wake, the thoughts are, thoughts rise, thoughts pervade, then sense powers are functional. Therefore, sense powers and mind consisting of thoughts, the emotional aspect, together we say the six aspects together form the manomayaha. And now, what is the distance between this I, the first person singular pronoun, the expression I, and this manomaya? No distance. And this I sense is in manomaye atma buddhihi. Initially we had annamaye atma buddhihi, then pranamaye atma buddhihi. Now we have manomaye also atma buddhi. Not only now, we have atma buddhihi in manomaya also. When I say manomaye atma buddhihi, what I mean to say, that manomaya, all the five sense powers and the thoughts associated with the mind, all of them are taken to be the substances of this only substantive I. The mind is mistaken to be the meaning of the expression I. The sense powers, each five sense powers are taken to be the meanings of the expression I. Then manomaye atma buddhihi, there's I sense in the manomaya. When there's I sense in manomaya, we say manomaya atma. How do we know that? I am blind, I am blurred, I cannot see, I cannot hear. Relatively it's okay, but it is an expression. I smell, I taste, I am sad, I am upset, I am angry. I am jealous. I hate. I am hateful. These are all the expressions to say that how there is I sense in the manomaya, which means all these five sense powers and the emotions are taken to be the substances of the substantive I. But when Shastram helps us analyze, we understand that each and every sense power, which is distinct, different from each other, each serves as an instrument of knowledge of its corresponding object. So five sense powers serve as instruments of perception of five different objects, objects in five different forms, and all each power is an object of knowledge. Each power being functional is known, each power being non-functional is known, each power being present is known, each power being not there is known. So all the powers are objects of knowledge. And not only his powers, even the emotions are objects of knowledge. Anger, desire, likes and dislikes, fear, hatred, jealousy are all subtle phenomena obtaining in the form of thoughts which constitute the mind, and they're all thoughts. Jealousy is a phenomenon in thought form. Fear is a phenomenon in thought form. Hatred is a phenomenon in thought form. Anger is a subtle phenomenon in thought form. There are reasons why they are triggered, how they surface, how they are. That's a different thing. But they are thoughts. Phenomenon, subtle phenomenon obtaining in the form of thoughts. In certain conditions, they surface. Otherwise, they remain dormant, like a sprout in a seed. The sprout in a seed is incomprehensible, invisible. But a given condition, it is soaked in water. When the seed bulges, it comes out. It visible, then becomes visible. Similarly, non-recognizable problems remain dormant in subconscious. When given situations, they're triggered, we are helpless, they surface, then they're perceptible. So, these emotions, the emotional aspect, are the vrittis which support the mind, they support the sense powers. All the six aspects are all objects of knowledge. Therefore, and I am the knower. So you are the knower. And this I, the first person singular pronoun expression, is what? I is the knower, distinct from the known. Therefore, these known subtle aspects which form the manomaya are not the substances of the substantive I. Each aspect is mistaken to be the substance of the substantive I. So on analysis, when we understand, then we say, before analysis, when the I sense is there in these emotions, in the mind and the sense powers, then manomaya is the Atma. But after analysis, without any contradiction with your reasoning, you are able to shift the I sense from the manomaya. It is manomaya kosha. When I is identified with them, with the manomaya, manomaya is mistaken to be the self, manomaya is Atma. After analysis, you dissociate, you objectify, you shift the I sense from there, understanding the fact that I, the knower, am distinct. I is the knower. Knower is distinct from the known. When cognitively you shift the I sense from them, manomaya is a kosha, like the cover. Similarly, three levels, three layers, each layer of personality is the personality which is mistaken for the very person. Then move on to Vijnanamaya. she reminded me of the tea break, okay? I won't stop. I will not stop until I finish, until I come to this Atma. Then this Vijnanamaya also, what is Vijnanamaya? Same Antahkaranam, but given a different name as Vijnanam, Buddhi. So intellectual aspect of the Antahkaranam is given a different name as Buddhi. Antahkarana means thoughts. Thoughts form the Antahkaranam. Thought is a name given to a subtle, imperceptible phenomenon which rises and resolves. And the emotional aspect is given the different name as Manaha. Intellectual aspect of Antahkaranam, which are also, which is also nothing but thoughts, given the name intellect, Buddhihi. And Buddhi otherwise called Vijnanam here, in this context. And this Buddhi is also associated with the sense powers. Therefore, the same sense powers with Manaha, with emotional aspect, gets the name Manomaya. Now, same sense powers with the intellect together form the Vijnanamaya. Another layer of personality, much subtler. See the distance. Where is the distance between I and the Vijnanamaya? What is the distance? So very carefully, we have to see how nowhere in every step how the teaching does not in any way contradict our reasoning. So until the Manomaya, we have instruments of knowledge, instruments of action, and instruments of enjoyment and abode of enjoyment. Only now we get to the one who makes use of the instruments, one who enjoys the abode of enjoyment, enjoys the instruments of enjoyment and actions. So we need an agent of action. There is knowledge of the existence of the world in terms of the world is. So knowledge takes place of the objects through perception. The knowledge takes place. You perceive through the eyes, light is. You perceive the object called light, the knowledge takes place, light is. Sound is. Smell is. Colorful flowers are. Taste is. So knowledge of the world of fivefold objects takes place when the perception of the objects takes place through the sense organs. So perception of the world obtaining in the fivefold objects takes place, and perception of the world results in the rising of knowledge of the fivefold objects. Light is, etc. That knowledge is buddhi. But when what happens here, this I sense is in this buddhi. When the I sense is in this buddhi and sense organs, then what happens? I know. I perceive. Earlier comes, I know, I perceive. I know. So this I sense is identified with the buddhi. Then this buddhi becomes the substance or the substantive I, along with the sense powers. Then this vijnanamayaha becomes the Atma. Then we analyze the Vijnanamaya. That I, the knower, am distinct from the known knowledge. Physics knowledge is, chemistry knowledge is, science knowledge is, mathematics knowledge is, science, arts knowledge is, knowledge of so many things in the world is, I am. So vijnanam, the buddhi is mistaken to be the substance of the substantive I. Then after analysis, we understand this knowledge of anything in the world is nothing but a manifestation of knowledge obtaining in the form of a thought, which presupposes the knowledge of the existence of the self, one's own self, in terms of I am. Therefore, this knowledge of anything in the world, which presupposes the knowledge of the existence of one's own self in terms of I am, the obtaining in the form of thoughts, this knowledge also comes and goes. There is a time the knowledge of various objects in the world is, and there is a time this knowledge of the world is not, which means knowledge of the existence of the self, or knowledge of the existence of the world, a knowledge of anything in the world, knowledge of the details of existent things in the world, So cow is knowledge of the existence of the cow. And how the cow looks, brown or black or white, it has horns or it has udder, it has milk, it is grazing or it is not grazing, it is sleeping. Lots of details. So any detailed knowledge of objects or the of the existent objects are all what? The manifestations of knowledge obtaining in the form of thoughts. Any knowledge, any tiniest knowledge, little knowledge, more knowledge, any amount of knowledge we have of the objects existent is nothing but manifestations of knowledge. You should be very careful when I'm using singular, when I'm using plural. Any amount of knowledge is manifestations of knowledge. This is buddhi. Called intellect. There's a capacity to know. And this, there is this knowledge also. There is, but we identify with this knowledge. There is physics knowledge. We say what? I know physics. Chemistry knowledge. I know physics, chemistry. I understand, I know Sanskritam. I know Latin. I know means what? The knowledge is in the form of a thought, which is manifestation of knowledge. And I, the knower, am distinct from this known knowledge, which rises in the form of a thought. How do we say? Because this knowledge of anything in the world, any details of anything in the world, is object of knowledge. Knowledge is object of knowledge. How do we say this? There is a time this knowledge is not. There is a time this knowledge is. When the knowledge is, you know the knowledge is. When this knowledge is not, you know this knowledge is not. Which means, you can say, I the knower am distinct from the knowledge which is known. Because knowledge being there is known, knowledge being not there is also known. In deep sleep state, knowledge being not there is known. In waking, knowledge being there is known. Therefore, knowledge is object of knowledge. Therefore, knower of knowledge, knower, this knowledge which is known is manifestation of knowledge. Is manifest knowledge obtaining in the form of a thought which comes and goes. The knowledge known is manifest knowledge obtaining in the form of a thought which comes and goes. And the knower of this knowledge is distinct from the known knowledge. And this is very subtle. This is, therefore, the known knowledge is mistaken to be the substance of the substantive knower I. the known knowledge is mistaken to be the substance of the substantive I, then this buddhi with sense organs which form the vijnanamaya is mistaken to be the atma, becomes the atma. But on analysis, when we understand even the subtlest aspect called buddhi, which is all about knowledge of the existence of the self and the world, knowledge of the existence of the self, knowledge of the existence of the world, and knowledge, detailed knowledge of, more and more and more detailed and detailed knowledge of the existent objects of the world, are all objects of knowledge? Is object of knowledge? When you analyze and the knower, therefore I, the knower, cannot have the known knowledge as its substance. I, the knower, is distinct from the known knowledge. On analysis, we shift the I sense cognitively from the buddhi, the known knowledge, knower I is shifted from the vijnanamaya, then vijnanamaya is no more atma, vijnanamaya is also kosha. Then I sense is shifted, where can we place the I sense? And we have one more layer of personality, which is another kosha, which is mistaken to be the atma, which is like the kosha, which is mistaken to be the atma, which is mistaken to be the substance of the substantive I, which is called anandamayaha. This anandamayaha is subtlest matter, subtlest phenomenon, which is otherwise called avidya, ignorance. What is ignorance? Ignorance is a name given to ajnanam, avidya, are the names given to unmanifest, subtlest, inseparable power of the reality. How can I understand it is the unmanifest power? Whenever there is no knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am, when there is no manifestation, what is avidya. When there is no manifestation of knowledge of the existence of self in terms of I am, thereby when there cannot be the manifestation of knowledge of the existence of the world in terms of the world is, what is ajnanam, avidya. And that ajnanam is nothing but the power of reality is being unmanifest. When if the knowledge is not manifest, then what is unmanifest? Unmanifest is avyaktam. Manifest is vyaktam. The power vyaktam is knowledge. The vyaktam power is what? Knowledge, which is buddhi. The power unmanifest avyaktam is ajnanam, avidya. So when there is no manifestation of knowledge of the existence of self, obtaining him of thought in terms of I am, then this avidya, when there is avidya, there is total ignorance. There is no knowledge of the existence of the self, therefore there cannot be knowledge of the existence of the world also. Then there is total ignorance. When in total ignorance, I the knower am inseparably distinct, but distancelessly, inseparably distinct from avidya. Inseparable, distanceless, but still distinct. There's no distance between avidya and the knower. I, the knower. Therefore, in avidya, nothing is experienced, nothing is known. It means the world, there's no object other than avidya. When there is avidya, when there is ignorance, when there is no manifestation of knowledge, what is known is nothing other than ignorance. In total ignorance, when there is no manifestation of knowledge, what is known is only the ignorance, not anything other than the ignorance. Therefore, no identity is possible. There is no physical body experienced. There are no mind is experienced, no thoughts are experienced, no sense powers are experienced, no powers of organs are experienced, no physiological powers or functions are experienced, no external world is experienced, therefore no identity is possible. Attention is not available for any object. No object is perceived because the very knowledge of the existence of the self is obtaining in the form of thought in terms of I am remains resolved. Therefore, no identity is possible. In total ignorance, there is non-identity. When there is no identity, there is no experience of pairs of opposites possible. Only in wrong identity, experience of pairs of opposites is possible. In non-identity, there is no experience of pairs of opposites is possible. when there is neither the experience of pain nor is the experience of pleasure, then what is sukham. Sukham, that is experience of limitlessness, experience of fullness. In fact, there is no time, there is no space, no form, name or function within the realm, existing within the realm of time and space. So in total ignorance, there is non-identity, then you're experiencing sukham. Unfortunately, you do not know you're experiencing the sukham because you do not know you are. Therefore, we call it bliss. We can't call it happiness. You can't call it fullness. We call it bliss. It's very subtle. In English dictionary, we cannot differentiate this. So this avidya, this, when there is absence of experience of pain and pleasure or pairs of opposites, then there is experience of bliss. And what is experienced is what is available as an object of experience is this ajnanam and sukham. This avidya and sukham together form the subtlest, nearest layer of personality called Anandamaya Kosha. And this Anandamayaha, the subtlest layer of personality, there is I sense in even Anandamaya. The I is identified even with this Anandamaya. I, the knower, the subject of knowledge, is identified even with this Anandamaya. Because there's no distance, the closest proximity. How do you see this identity? There's I sense even in Anandamaya. On waking up from sleep, you say, I was ignorant. I was ignorant in sleep. I did not know anything. It was nice. No pain, no pleasure. I was ready. I had sukham. Means the I, the first person singular pronoun, the knower of ignorance. In Vijnanamaya, knower of knowledge is identified with the knowledge. The knowledge is mistaken to be the substance of a substantive knower. In Anandamaya, the Ajnanam, the knower of ignorance, is identified with ignorance. The ignorant, the known ignorance, the total unmanifest power, the known ignorance, the known sukham is taken to be the substance of the substantive I, the subject of knowledge, the knower. The known ignorance is taken to be the substance of the substantive I, the subject of knowledge, the knower. But on then Anandamaya is mistaken to be the Atma, Anandamaya Atma. Then we analyze, on analysis, we find out what? Ajnanam is also object of knowledge. When there is Purna Ajnanam, total ignorance, in terms of ignorance of the existence of the self, and ignorance of the existence of the world, which is avidya, which is nothing but ignorance, is a name attributed to the same unmanifest power. And when there is no identity, naturally there is experience of sukham, which is a condition again. Why called a condition? Because subject to change. And the same Purna Ajnanam is not there. When this Ajnanam is disturbed, then there is manifestation of knowledge of the existence of self in terms of I am. The state of experience is different. The state of experience is different. States of experience being different is known. Three different states of experience. And they are discontinuous and they are mutually exclusive. And the difference is known. Therefore, I, the knower, the subject of knowledge, is distinct though not distant from the known, avidya and the sukham. We understand. So Anandamaya is not Atma anymore. Anandamaya is not mistaken to be the substance of the substantive I. Anandamaya being, the kosha becomes clear. Until now, Shastram comes along with this to make us understand what I, the knower, is not. Then Shastram leaves us. Because we are so used to be in the cozy, enjoying the help of the Shastram until now, we still wait. Oh, Shastram is going to tell us something more. He's going to give us more. We are going to have different experience. No. Until now Shastram comes, then Shastram ditches. Which means, what is there then? Where is the truth? Where is the reality? What is the essential nature of the individual? And what is the subtlest, abstract, formless, all-pervasive reality obtaining as a self, implied with the term Atma? What is Atma? Where is Atma? Let me experience. No, stop. No more experience. Nothing more is available for experience. There's no more object of experience. Now what is now is only what cannot be available for experience. what cannot be experienced, what is non-experienceable, what is non-knowable, what is unknowable, what cannot be known, what cannot be objectified alone is now. And what is now, what is there now at this stage? There's no more object of experience. Now what is only, who is only the knower. That which obtains is knower. The knower alone is. No more known. The knower alone is. After negating all these five layers of personality, which were taken to be the Atma, were mistaken to be substances of the substantive I, after analysis, after being negated as koshas, now nothing more is there to be negated as objects of experience. Now what is non-negatably there is only the subject of experience, subject of knowledge, the knower, experiencer alone is. We have to say, you have shifted the essence from everything, all the layers of personality. Now we resolve the essence in knower. I the knower. I am the knower. And what am I the knower? If you look for knower, search for knower, there's no form. There's no name. There's no function. No action. There's abstract, subtlest, inexplicable, incomprehensible, but you are seeing yourself. What is what? That formless, abstract truth obtaining in the form of knower, enjoying the status of being the knower is nothing but the reality. And you understand, what is that which knows? There's something which knows. Because of, how do you know the knower is? Because the known is. Until now you negated each and every layer of personality as the known, known, known. The presence of the known is the proof for the knower being there. And who is the knower? You don't see form, name or function, but there is the knower. And why does, we can say that knower is reality, formless reality. And why does this reality know? It is not an action. Reality, knowing is its sarupam, nature. Therefore it knows. Janati iti jnanam. It knows. Therefore, what can you say? Therefore, the knower is nothing but the reality, which is of the nature of knowing. Therefore, no word can be used to imply this reality. So any word used is only in terms of its nature of knowing, in terms of its given nature. So the word jnanam, chaitanyam. Chaitanyam means what? That which is of the nature of being conscious. Being conscious is its nature. Knowing is its nature. Being aware is its nature. Therefore, in terms of its nature of being aware, the reality is implied by the term awareness. In terms of its nature of being conscious, reality is implied by the term consciousness. In terms of its nature of knowing, reality is implied by the term jnanam. And it is this reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness. What is a pure knowledge? This pure knowledge which you arrived at as the, that which obtaining as the knower is not associated with any form, not associated with any word, not associated with any function. Therefore, we call it pure. Pure knowledge, pure consciousness. And here, Shastram does not say anything. Shastram has left us long ago and gone away. And we have to say, my God, where can I go beyond in terms of, where can I go? How far can I go searching for myself? Just you have to claim, you have to take ownership of this formless abstract reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, consciousness as yourself. Now, it is this formless abstract reality, consciousness is to be understood as the substance of the substantive knower I. Okay, I am consciousness. You know you are, now you know what you are. So all other layers of personality were negated when they were taken to be substances of the substantive I. Now the actual substance of the substantive I is pure consciousness, implied by the term Atma or Brahma. And here, Shastram does not need to come and tell us, come on, you are a consciousness. You know nothing more is there to negate. You claim. It's called a claiming. Taking ownership of what is, finally. But we have simply a little more work. We have resolved all of them in one, isn't it? It's only one method. It's only Pancha Kosha. Is to be convinced, not to any doubts, must be convinced. Yes, the substance of the substantive I is this consciousness. Now why, in fact, not even consciousness. You can't even use the word consciousness or knowledge. You only arrive at it something which knows, which is there as the knower. Enjoying the status of being the knower. And you arrive at that in terms of its nature of knowing. Therefore, all these words are used. And what is the nature of this reality, which you arrived at as the swarupam of I, the truth of I, the substance of the substantive I. How it is Atma? Why is implied by the term Brahma? How it is this reality implied by the term Atma, which is the locus for time, space, and elements and the elementals, and for the whole jagat. You must be able to see. Initially, I see the ocean. I see the water in the ocean. Now I shifted my perception that I see the ocean in the water. Initially, now I have to see the whole world in this truth. Initially, I was searching. Now I see there's nothing just outside of this truth. Atma. I had to see how everything is in this. That we'll see next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Sri Guru Namaha Hari Om.